The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe,
and your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Sometime we'll give an announcement or something to the effect of...
We interrupt our regularly scheduled programming for this very important world-changing announcement from the Donald Trump for President campaign.
Trumpzilla's going to announce his vice president tomorrow!
Yeah!
This is the event the world has been waiting for. Or, as I like to call it, seasoned Trumpzilla Season 2, Episode 1. We'll talk about it. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, on a Thursday, Xing the question of the day.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I'll tell you. We have so much to get to today because we got to so little yesterday. Buckle in, folks. It's going
to
be fun.
To ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire.
Okay, telephone number if you'd like to be on the program today. It's easy to do. Call 844-527-8723. 844-5-CRUSADE. Email me directly. My email address, same as it ever was, kingdude, K-I-N-G-D-U-D-E, at mikechurch.com. Official website for all things moi online at mikechurch.com. Find today's pile of prep, freshly minted. There is a brand new Veritas Et Sapientia up there. Now, it's up there from Alasdair MacIntyre's After Virtue. And I get a chance to write a little narrative for it, which I hope to do. during one of the breaks that we might get to take in the first, or breaks that we will take in the first segment here. So stand by on that. I'm going to get into that, and I'll get that up. But the quote is up there, and the quote is the Veritas et Sapienti of the day. Basically answers the question. It is taken from the chapter, and I had it open yesterday to actually talk about on the program, some consequences of the failure of the Enlightenment Project. Richard Weaver wrote that book back in the 1950s, Ideas Have Consequences. And McIntyre's thesis, if you will, was that, okay, if ideas have consequences, let's explore what are the consequences. And his exploration of the consequences of the Enlightenment, which was not shining the light whatsoever, it was the extinguishment of the, capital T, light, capital L, spoken of and so prosaically and beautifully written of in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. The light came into the world, and the world knew it, knew him not. Non cognovit. Anyways, I was reading this a couple of days ago, and I was reflecting on it and thinking, this is one of these, it's one of these difficult-to-read books that not everyone is going to pick up and is going to read and go, yeah, I got a lot out of that. Many people might not even make it through the first couple of chapters, and this is the problem with a lot of good literature. The problem with it is written by people, by men that were still, even though it was on the wane, were still basically classically educated with the three ideas, with the trivium and the quadrivium. We don't do that any longer. As a matter of fact, most people couldn't even name the I'm struggling right now to get the trivium and the quadrivium in my mind so I can tell you what it is. But we don't teach the trivium and the quadrivium, because if we did that, then all you would be doing is teaching people to be good Christians. All you would be doing is instructing them on how to think and not what to think. And modern man, and certainly modern man in America, has got to teach people what to think. So you'll go out and buy what we tell you to buy. Speaking of buy. As a matter of fact, let me blouse over to the Facebook page here. I saw this story last night and I went, aha, I knew it was a ruse. Our contributor to the Modern Wrong World Made Right and to our special show on St. John Fisher, Ryan Grant, our Latinist, had this. He posted this last night. There's two stories that I saw. Hold on. Okay, I think this is the one. The Pokemon Go app is nothing more than what the CIA couldn't get from you. Here it is. I'll read you the headline. I was reading this going like, most people are going to see it. Well, yeah, of course, that's what they would say. The CIA's Pokemon Go app is doing what the Patriot Act can't. How do you like that? Privacy advocates celebrated earlier this week as the House rejected yet another attempt to expand the Patriot Act's snooping provisions. House Resolution 5606, better known by its Orwellian name, the Anti-Terrorism and Information Sharing is Strength Act, would have allowed Big Brother access to America's financial information based on what the government deems to be suspicious activity. Given that the DHS has labeled such things as using binoculars, paying with cash, or even appearing normal as possible terrorist activity in the past, every human being's a problem. Well, of course, we're all suspects. A terrorist? Ah. Want to go into a nightclub and mow down 50 gay people? Ah, go ahead. Yeah, we know that we tracked you and then we interviewed you. We know that you were in are becoming an Orthodox Muslim, but we're going to ignore the obvious because we never implemented these programs to get people like you anyways. You actually help us. Imagine that. terrorists actually assist Morador on the Potomac River. How, Mike Minichurch, that's preposterous. Is it? Is it? Question. Since the rise of global terrorism aimed at our way of life, if I hear one more soccer mother tell me, well, they're coming over here to try. They hate our way of life. They're coming in our way of life. As if this is some sort of revelation. Wake up, sweetheart. Slowly back away from the hazelnut coffee mate and smell the real coffee that's brewing over here. You smell what the king dude is cooking? The Mohammedans have been after our way of life since they became Mohammedans in the 7th century, sweetheart. Or should I say sweet tart? I don't want to read all his narrative. Full disclosure, although I live in the land of anime and video games, I've never played any Pokemon games. Blah, 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 da, 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 da. For those unfamiliar with augmented reality gaming, it's a type of game where one tracks virtual characters or objects that appear on their smartphones through real-world environments. The Pokemon Go game is prompting scores of people out into the streets to go chasing for wild Pokemons to capture. Now, folks, you know what this ultimately is going to do? Number one, it's a tracking device that you have on you now, as if you needed another one. And number two, basically, when that app is on and you're tracking something in real time like that, you know what happened to me yesterday? I was on the Facebook page, my Facebook page, minding my own business, and I got this flashy message came up that such and such is live. I thought it was a live broadcast. So I clicked. I was curious, and I went, oh. By the way, young Christopher, can we go live on Facebook with our video? Can our all my Facebook users be prompted that I'm shooting live video to Facebook right now? Why not? Why couldn't we? Is he listening? Sister, brother, is it possible?
I'm not sure, but...
Now, if you got on your phone and came in here and started videotaping me, you could go live.
Yeah, personally, yeah.
Yeah, well, you should, every once in a while, you should do that. Hey, look, we'll hold up a number, and if anyone tunes in and they get the number and they're the first caller, if you're the first caller at B97-260-9797, we'll give you a free T-shirt. How you like that? Anyways, this message came up, and it said, such and such is live, so I clicked on it. She was chasing a Pokemon! I immediately unfriended her, disliked her, whatever you called it. I was lured into this. But my point is that that's a portal onto wherever she is. That's a surveillance camera. Of course, Americans don't think about these things anymore because we're surveilled anyways. And we seem to enjoy conducting our business and personal affairs. I've heard people conducting divorces while waiting online at Winn-Dixie to buy a roasted chicken. I know you're really in a hurry, ma'am, to get your bottle of sangria or whatever out into the car, and you can't put your phone down for a minute, but I really didn't need to hear the details of the divorce that you're talking about with Loretta. Why do you want to be Loretta, Stan? On the more innocuous side, some restaurants and businesses are already trying to cash in on their proximity to spots with a lot of in-game activities. Just the whole thing is a freaking scam. If you're wondering what's going on here, you're not the only one. It seems the internet is flipping its collective lid over this app as the line between gaming and the real world gets blurrier. That's what I wanted to focus on, the real world. We don't deal with the real world. We don't conform our minds to reality. Why? Because to do so would then shine the light of truth on things. And we might actually have to confront things as they are and not as we wish for them to be. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Let's start the program off with a digital media file, shall we? So, you people that are out there meandering about the countryside with your Pokemon Go apps on, just know that you're basically a useful idiot for the CIA, especially if you're broadcasting the darn thing. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program today. 844-527-8723. crusade. Now to the meat and taters of this. I came in this morning, I was minding my own business, was causing no one any harm. I turned the televisions on, and the first thing I heard at 5:11 this morning was a package piece put together by Poppy Harlow of the Clinton News Network recapping the vaunted CNN Cops versus Blacks town hall. What you're about to hear is a summation of the town hall meeting that was held on the Clinton News Network last night. Well, now, here's what I want you to listen for. I want you to listen for a couple of things. The first thing is the petulant mother, who is righteously indignant that her son might be held accountable for acts against the law. And if anyone tells her ever again that my baby is out here, he don't know the law because I already told him, and you say that I didn't tell him. Well, let me tell you something about him. Folks, this is as I'm trying to prepare you for this. This is here. Let me tell you what this is going to be after you hear it. Now, there were people on this set. They were crying. They were hugging. That's so great. We're solving the problem. You can't solve the problem of the fact that we are manufacturing fatherless children at the rate of 53% of all live births. Put that in your petulant pipe and your SP pipe and smoke it, pro athletes. What do you propose to do about that? Here, I have a suggestion. Maybe some of you can stop making fatherless babies. How about that? Why don't you raise your hand at the ESPYs and say, I'm taking a vow of celibacy until I'm married. Or maybe even, ooh, talk about refreshing, what about a vow of monogamy with your person that you are married to? Maggie O'Connell, who was the singer, actress, whatever her name was, who announced that she was not going to have relations with her rapper or her, her Seattle Seahawks boyfriend until they was married. Who was that? That's the kind of announcement we need more of. Not that that's a perfect announcement, but Chia? Her name is Chia? Kia? Sia. Sia. What is this, charade? Sia, Kia, you drive a Kia. Oh, S-E-A. C. Oh, C. C-A? C-A? Oh, for heaven's sake, can I get it? You got it?
C-I-A-R-A.
Chiara?
Sierra.
Sierra?
C-I-A-R-A.
Sierra, as in Sierra Nevada.
No. That's S. It's C I A R A.
As in the Italian pronunciation of St. Clair is Chiara. Whatever. How do you spell
it? I'm giving you the spelling.
Does she have a real name? A real last name? Here, why don't we start with the Seattle Seahawks player or the pro basketball player, whoever it was? Does he have a name that's not made up for rapping? Just curious. Anyways, this would be a refreshing announcement. Hey, I'd like to tell all my peeps on the Twitter feed and all my fans that I'm not going to have relations with anyone I ain't hitched to. All right, so don't get any funny ideas when you come up and ask me for an autograph, yo. Oh, here it is. This is a guy that's not black enough. The quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. Who was it that accused him of not being black enough? Russell, what's his, I should ask for these things in advance. Russell Wilson. It's Russell Wilson. Wasn't he the one, who was it that said, was it somebody that played for the, on the team? It was the running back dude. What's his name? All these names will come to me.
Earl Thompson.
Earl Thompson. He ain't black enough. He don't act black enough or whatever it was he said. Well, apparently, this is a LifeSite news story, actually. Ciara and Russell Wilson were praised for abstaining. Now they're engaged. God had a plan. Now, you're not going to find this on ESPN News. You're not. Hey, I got a question. Any of you that might have watched the ESPY Awards last night, was Russell Wilson given the first ever monogamy award by ESPN? Huh? So, this is all prelude to what you're about to hear, which is, well, I don't know. All I know is that you guys, you're cops, and you're supposed to fix all this. My baby going to go out in the streets. And he's gonna break the law. When he breaks the law, you're gonna shoot him. And that's just wrong. Well, maybe it is wrong to be shooting them, or perhaps also maybe we should get to the ultimate causes of these problems. These young men are all growing up without fathers. And they're growing up without the Christian faith being administered to them by fathers who can tell them right, wrong, yes, no. So let me play you the audio clip and then we'll talk about it at 844-527-8723.
He would want peace. He'd want good to come out of all of this.
Two families impacted by last week's violence coming together.
Wait a minute. This is not going to work without the proper music bed. This has to have background music or it's not going to work. Hold on. I have just the ticket here. Let me get the music bed in place and.
For unity.
This has to stop. By taking another person's life, it won't make the other person's life come back.
Violence to violence is not gonna never be the answer to nothing. And I think we all come together to say that we want peace. We want peace for both families.
We want peace.
Activists and law enforcement all joining a candid conversation about whether policing in America is inherently biased against blacks.
I have spoken to police officers who have told me that they believe that black people are genetically predisposed to be criminals, and it is their obligation to control these people by whatever means are necessary.
The history of African Americans in this country started with slavery. Then it moved to black codes, to segregation. And who was it who was enforcing those racist policies? It was the white police officer. So that narrative exists in the community based on the history, and it's factual.
Questions over how to comply with police dominating the CNN town hall, many fearful and distrusting.
Instructing our young people day in and day out that there's something in their behavior that brings on the abuse is tantamount to telling women that there's something that we do that causes street harassment and rape. We have to change the culture.
No, it's
we
not.
Should not have a racial divide in this country anymore, but we do. So I say to him, you do put your hands on the wheel. You do be careful. And maybe you do still have to be extra careful because you're black.
Can we just take a moment as America and register how profound and immoral it is to say this is the only thing that will keep you safe? Is that if you pack this toolbox and you take it with you everywhere you go, and this is not the way that everybody has to behave, it is only the way that you have to behave, and it is not your fault, and you have not done anything wrong, but it is because you are who you are, and they do not see you as the person that I love, but they see you as a person that they should fear.
A heart-wrenching moment as one mother shares her fear for her son.
Here it comes.
Every moment he's not with me, I fear for his life. I keep hearing you tell me to tell my son what to do. My 14-year-old is sitting right there. So you tell him he needs to be more respectful. You tell him he needs to be more compliant to your rules and your laws. Because I've told him, and obviously it doesn't matter because you're telling me I'm not telling him enough.
Then this officer comforts her.
I'm sorry that we have not fulfilled our civil duty and our responsibility to you and this community and your children. And I'm sorry. And I just want to take a moment and say to you, I'm sorry.
Now this cop hasn't shot anyone. It's not his civil responsibility to parent that child. It's the father's civil responsibility to parent that child. It's not that cop's civil responsibility to be out there doing and performing the role that that kid's father ought to be performing, but no one will stand up and say it. Instead, we have these ridiculous blubber sessions. By the by, I looked this up this morning. I looked this up going all the way back to 1562. 1562, the first papal bull was issued against the slave trade. 1562, Pope Leo XIII wrote a magnificent encyclical against the continuation of the slave trade in 1878. It's listed in today's Pile O'Prep. And it is, I'm looking for the, I don't have the title here. It is, Plurimus. That's what it is. Plurimus. Plurality. It's about all children are created, all men are created in the image of God. And I was reading this going papal bull after bull after bull decrying the slave trade and what the slave trade would ultimately result in, which would be a tiered system of viewing humanity. I mean, isn't this what the Nazis did? You know, we tend to think of what the Nazis did as just Nazis versus the Jews. White Gentiles versus white Jews. That's not the whole picture. The Nazis said that they were the master. They were trying to bring forth the master race. The master race means that any other races, black, Asian, name it, are all inferior. But I'm getting off the subject here. Couple of things. One, if you consider yourself and fancy yourself a Christian, you have the obligation that was commanded to you by our Lord himself to not judge people based upon their appearance. Race is a part of their appearance. The second thing is, if you're going to have these conversations about repairing all this social and moral damage that's been done, you have to go back and you have to first establish, okay, what's the cause? What's the ultimate cause of all this? The ultimate cause of all this is there is not a singular, reliable, repeatable, traditional moral code that is being referred to that can prevent it. Now, there is a moral code that you can refer to that will prevent it. It's not being called for. It's not being sought. It's not being lunged after. In the Latin, we'd say desideratum. In fact, it's quite the opposite. And yet these conversations continue. For how many more decades, how many more trillions of dollars have to be poured into wars against poverty? Now we're going to have wars against wars for community policing. Cops are going to be out there. What now police officers have to carry a manual on how to be a good second party or third party father to any child that they run into that doesn't have a dad. I would say that most responsible men who are police officers probably take that paternal and fraternal duty seriously have considered that duty as part of their duty anyways. But it's only good insofar as that there is, let me give you an example. Say back in the day before 53% of all young people roaming about the American countryside were bastards, right? Let's go back to a time when only 5% of all Americans roaming the countryside were bastards. Yes, we're bringing back use of the word bastard.
The Crusade Channel password is bastard.
I rather like that term, bastard. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. By the way, I have another. I have another America, Secede or Die t-shirt to give away for any caller who has never called this Crusade channel before. First time caller, pick up a America, Secede or Die t-shirt, free, don't cost nothing. Call 844-527-8723. Make it past young Christopher and bammo, it's yours. Now let's get into the another part of the story here that we need to cover. So we're bringing back the term bastard, right? So before, and I was going to give you an example, before the when 5% of those roaming the countryside were bastards, if a police officer had an encounter with young people in a crime setting prior to the modern time which we currently live, it was probably over something like trespassing, breaking and entering, curfew violation, something to that effect. The police officer, being a peace officer, would probably not go into that situation. I was part of a couple of those, and I can bear witness to it. Were there any black people around? As a matter of fact, there was in one instance. Would not go into that situation with guns drawn, thinking that there was a shootout was going to be the result of the community policing. And what he might do is discover these boys that had broken into this place or trespassing or whatever it is they were doing, and he might offer a paternal correction in as much as, what are you boys doing out at this hour? Why are you here? Why aren't you home? And in meeting out a little bit of tough love, not shooting anyone, but ordering them as a parent might, now in the stead of the parent now, we're still talking about juveniles, go home now, and if I catch you here again, I'm going to detain you and then call your parents. How many of you were involved when you were a teenager in something as I just described it? Well, what was the cop doing? He really wasn't being a cop because you were breaking the law. He could have arrested you. What was he doing? He was basically playing the role that your parent would play. When you're caught lifting a bottle of Coke out of the neighbor's garage, your parents probably don't call the police on you. They probably discipline you and reprimand you so that you don't do it again. The cops, the law need not, in other words, the internal code that can manage affairs by virtue is called upon, and the parental duty there is present. No amount of town hall meetings can replace that. No amount of police officers interceding can replace that. What happens when the kid is told to go home and there's no father there to enforce it? What happens when the kid is told to go home and there's no community there to back up what the cop said that the father should be enforcing? Folks, these are serious problems. From where I sit, and from where any logical person would sit and would view this, it ought to be apparent that the answer to this, the ultimate cause of all this, is that there is a total breakdown in the prohibition or the admonition against having premarital sex. This isn't hard to figure out. And if you have premarital sex and a baby ultimately results, no abortion clinics, get your butt to the priest, take your pre-Cana classes, and take your vows. Whatever happened to the term, here, I'll bring it. You want to hear an oldie but goodie? Well, I have to get the scratchy record music out for this. Whatever happened to the term, as a matter of fact, I can't remember the last time I heard this. whatever happened to the term, Shuddy? You're going to make an honest woman out of her. You remember? Remember? When we were children back in the 70s, and that's not that far removed, and maybe even in the early 80s, you would have heard that. Well, I guess I'm going to make an honest woman out of her. You're going to make an honest woman out of my daughter. Does anyone even proffer that? Is that even offered anymore? Probably not. A letter was written to American conservative magazine columnist Rod Dreher yesterday. In response to cops can't be our saviors. Well, we played the clip from Dallas Police Chief David Brown yesterday on the program, that where Chief Brown was saying, hey, you guys are offloading stuff onto the police force that the police force was not designed for and is incapable of adjudicating. It's like the woman yelling at the cop, you telling me that my baby, apparently I'm not telling him enough. Well, if he's still out doing it, yes, you're not telling him enough. And the boys obviously need fathers. Here, look at it like this. When boys are raised by women, no offense, ladies, and have nothing other than foul mouth, polygamists as their role models, is a very good chance they're going to turn out to be foul-mouthed polygamists. I work in a police department in California as a civilian, and my wife is a professor at a local community college. We both see a lot of what we've been talking about lately. Institutions being axed to pick up the slack or to, and I'm, this is me filling this in, the police and now teachers, along with the cops, are now being told it's their duty now to pick up the slack with America's slack-jawed, allegedly white Christian or black Christian parents of what they're not doing. No, I'm all for solidarity, which is what a society based upon solidarity would do. Which is what the cop was, that I was described earlier, that told the boys to go home, was basically practicing a form of solidarity. He was in solidarity with what a agreed upon moral code of conduct is. He didn't invoke the law. Instead, he invoked solidarity. He was in community. He was in community with the parents who you can assume back in the day had previously instructed children on proper moral behavior. When you don't have prior instruction on proper moral behavior, you're going to have problems. If you have police officers that are trained to look for proper moral behavior, and you have a bunch of kids roaming the streets that are not being instructed on proper moral behavior, yes, they're going to continue to be altercations. Again, what's the common cause? Again, I plead with you people every day to consider this. There's no agreed upon here. There's no unity. They're all, we just went peace and unity. You can't have unity because you don't agree by the actions that led to bringing that child into the world, by the continuance of the same actions. You don't agree that there is a unity and that there is a singular moral code that man, especially, certainly, Christian man and woman, or woman, brother, sister, should be following. This is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, at 844-527-8723. If you'd like to be part of the program, first caller today that's not a chronic caller or a regular caller, has never called the network before, will be awarded a free O-Charge, don't cost nothing, America Secede or Die t-shirt. But you don't have to wait to get yours. Get yours today in the Founders Trading Post at mikechurch.com/shop and tell the world, hey, while you're at it, you have one for Monday and have one for Tuesday. On Monday, wear America Secede or Die with the Ben Franklin cartoon snake cut into pieces. And on Tuesday, wear Exit, Stage Right. Back to the story. One of my common refrains to people outside of law enforcement is that cops are just people. Yes, there are some extraordinary cops, just as there are extraordinary soldiers, nurses, teachers, bus drivers, and American conservative writers. But being a cop or a teacher or a bus driver or an American conservative writer doesn't make you extraordinary. You're going to have a mix of exemplary, terrible, and just average. With that in mind, the type of tasks given to law enforcement are often outside the realm of their core competency, or at least what people believe their core competency to be. Folks, this is important stuff here. The police officers are not competent. What's the word? Surrogate fathers. They're not. And some of them may wish to be. They may be big brothers volunteering at a big brother home, at a boys club. That's commendable. Fantastic. Yay. Give them a round of applause. But they're not surrogate fathers. By the way, are there still boys clubs out there? I just wonder about these things sometimes. When I started at my department, I went on a ride-along with one of the officers. At the time, there was some pressure from co-walkers to enroll in the academy and become a cop. I figured this was a really good look. This was a really good look at what they do every day. After a half a day, I was done. I could easily tell that years of doing that job would break something in me. It would rob me of my optimism and faith in people. It wasn't that I saw cops being disrespected or criminals flouting the law. It was going along on a domestic disturbance call to see a woman and her daughter who were fighting because the daughter had just found out she was HIV positive and was threatening to kill herself while her mother berated her and bemoaned the fact that she was doing drugs and prostituting herself. After that call, I knew I couldn't do the job. The calls I went along on that were criminal, those were fine for some reason. But the fact that peace officers were being asked to mediate this type of intensely personal and intimate problem smacked me in the face. If you want a broader example of police being asked to work in their communities in ways that are unfair, that are an unfair burden, ask how your city handles the homeless. I guarantee you that in almost every city, the agency doing the most work with homeless is the local police department. If there was ever an argument for the fact that we criminalize poverty, it is probably that. More, page two. More than half of the staff meetings I sit through are filled with debates and reports on how the department is handling the homeless. This is a complicated social issue that requires compassion and well-thought-out policy, but instead is being thrown over the fence to law enforcement to figure out. And the drive isn't to help these people. It's to ensure the city council members that people won't see vagrancy in their fair city because it's bad for business. In other words, no one really cares about the homeless. They don't care, and most of the homeless are mentally sick. You know, back in the 80s, the Grace Commission that was called into being by President Reagan, you know, the Grace Commission actually explored this topic right here, this subject of homelessness. Once upon a time, there was a federal program. I cannot recall what it was called or what agency administered it. But most of the homeless were cared for by this federal entity. Now, here's a question. Who cared for the homeless before the federal entity? Want to take a stab at that one? Does the name Dorothy Day ring a bell? No, Mitter Church, you had to go use the C word. There you go. Ring the siren. Tell everybody. Dorothy Day. The church cared for the homeless. That's who cared for the homeless. St. Luke's. In New York City.
New York City?
Yeah, New York City. Where homeless shelters were administered, nuns would work in them. Priests would visit them, would give confessions, would try and encourage conversions dealing with the homeless. Government took it over. Grace Commission studied. It's part of what the Grace Commission studied. Grace Commission studied it. They ended the program. Don't you remember President Reagan being just derided by every liberal in existence for being heartless and callous and cruel and what have you here? because he ended that program that dealt with the homeless? I do. Then again, I seem to be the only person that remembers a lot of things here on this show. 844-527-8723. If any of this rings a bell, or if any of this makes any sense to anyone other than me. Back to the homeless. And the drive isn't to help these people. It's to ensure the city council members that people won't see vagrancy in their fair city because it's bad for business. In the face of such work, here, I'll give you another example. How many of you people have been told by friends or family members, whenever you are driving up to an intersection and there's a homeless guy, the first thing is to do what? Do the not Christian thing. Expect the person standing there will work for food or just enough for a meal. Thank you, God bless, et cetera, et cetera. Assume that that person is a professional hobo, right? Assume that that person is a professional vagrant. He's a scam artist. He's a grifter. There's a name. He's a professional pauper. He's a professional pauper in England, right? Don't take the pauper's word for it that he really is down on his luck, or he really is. Maybe he's got a mental problem. Maybe he can't work. What's the second thing conservative, Trump flag-waving, Trump sign-waving, flag-waving, red, white, and blue, allegedly middle American Christians say, most Christians say, brothers and sisters and brothers, say about that homeless guy that they're about to encounter at that intersection? What do they say? Get a job. Why don't you go get a job? Why don't you try working? Does it ever occur to anyone that maybe the guy did try working? Maybe working didn't work out. Maybe he's unreliable. Maybe he's got a mental screw loose. Maybe he just really needs a buck. Maybe. But we are taught, we're sensitized. Well, that guy, I tell you what'll fix that homeless problem. Give him a good job. Give him a day. Put him to work. Do this. Do that. Is that really Christian charity? Who wants to, put another way, who wants to take the chance or risk that the person actually is in need and actually does require charity? Who would want to risk having to atone for that on Judgment Day? That, why didn't you stop? Well, it looked like you just needed to get a job. That's not what I taught you. Where'd you find that in my teaching? The judge might say. In the face of such work, writes the cop, or the cop assistant, rather, it's hard to not understand how so many officers' hearts harden. They have to be able to cope. The same is very true of teachers. As I said, my wife teaches at a community college. She teaches English from the honors level to the you probably shouldn't have been allowed out of high school level. Some of the stories she brings home just break your heart. Students come to her for help because they're being abused at home. Again, surrogate mother now being having to step in. Again, there's nothing wrong with solidarity. And there's nothing wrong with being in solidarity and in solid communion with your neighbor, with someone in your community that may really have a problem and could use your help, but not as a relied upon member of an institution. And if it is institutionalized, isn't that the role that orphanages and monasteries used to play? It's a great story about a young crippled infant in the 13th and the 12th century. He was born to some peasant farmers, and it was determined very young in his life that he would not be able to walk, and he would thus not be able to participate in the family's agrarian lifestyle, and he'd be a drain, a burden. So you know what they did? They went and brought him to a Benedictine monastery, left him on the doorstep, and knocked on the door and ran. You know that kid turned out to be? He was brought in, cared for by the brothers, by the monks. That kid turned out to be Hermann Contractus. How many of you know who Hermann Contractus? Hermann the Lame, as he's known. If you're a Catholic and you've ever recited, Hail Mary, Hail Holy Queen of Peace, or the Salve Regina, that's the writing of Herman Contractus. Just an example of how of an institution that actually did perform the task that the teachers and the cops are being asked to perform. Surrogate parenting from time to time. This is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. We are live at veritasradionetwork.com. We are live on the apps. If you're looking for the best way to listen to this show or any of the other shows on the Crusade Channel, then download our apps in the Windows Phone App Store, the iTunes Store for iPhone and iPad, and the Google Play Store for Android devices. The app's just $1.99 and gives you fingertip access to the Crusade Channel live stream. And now, the phone feed of the Mike Church Show does not require any bandwidth, no data required, a simple phone call, and you'll be in, and it's in the app. You can just hit the button in the app, and you're listening to the Mike Church Show 24 hours a day. And the all-new Crusade Channel preview feed, allowing you effortless playback of hours and hours and days of your favorite Crusade Channel content without ever leaving the app. So download our app today, and please consider rating the apps too. Our smartphone app delivers the Crusade Channel anywhere your mobile device works. The Veritas Radio Network app, mobile radio the way it should be. Back to the story here. Students come to her for help because they're being abused at home, because their families throw them out of the house for going to class instead of opting to help the family by staying home to watch siblings. So much of it, again, driven by poverty traps and the chaotic values that the younger students swim in. Again, fathers. Where's the fathers? Where's the home life? Where's the prayer life? It's not there. The ultimate cause of this is, again, deviance from sexual morality. Now, not all of it, but the vast majority of it. These students often feel completely out of control over anything in their lives and don't know how to assert control. I'd say a good half of my wife's work with students in non-transfer level classes is educating them on how to function as an adult in society and as a student paying for college than actual reading and writing. And there are traps for the middle class as well. In the desperation to not fall into the lower class, parents want to ensure that their kids have activities and schedules and demand more and more of the systems around them to buoy their kids against potential class slippage. Add to that the fact that what is considered a middle-class lifestyle today almost presupposes a dual-income household. Boy, howdy, does it? Everybody expects. Why do you think so many young people are out there not getting married till they're 34, 35 years old and they're staying at home shacking up with their parents? Why? Number one, they've been told, practice contraception. Don't worry about bringing the joys of the next generation into being here. You need to go out and make your way into a world by virtue of your career or your occupation. Folks, this is so widespread, it's epidemic. My children are totally possessed of it. And I often gently counsel, you know, you don't have to have a career. There is no requisite that you, as a young woman, has to have a career. You can have a vocation. And wife, mother is the grandest vocation. Ah, but don't say that in public. Don't say that in public. Hey, what do you mean? Why are you oppressing her? And this is just another part of the problem. Just imagine this. Imagine if Lou Rockwell wrote a piece about this once upon a time at lourockwell.com. I don't remember all the all the nitty-gritty details of it, but I remember the gist of the piece. And the gist of the piece was that if we went back to December 31st, 1969, employment by gender levels. Employment by gender levels. He did some kind of a calculation where he calculated that the male workforce would receive like a 58 or 65% boost in pay. Boost in pay. That the workload could be distributed and that the women could stay home, like most of them did. 85% of them up to 1900 and December 31st, 1969. That's when this revolution began, that everyone has to have a career. Everyone's got to leave the home. And the home isn't the home anymore. The home isn't the center of life anymore. Business, buying iPhones, taking a stupid Pokemon Go app out into public. That's the center of life today. What restaurant are we eating at today? That's the center of life. Add to that the fact that what is considered a middle-class lifestyle today almost presupposes a dual-income household, which means expensive child care, where we literally end up outsourcing a significant amount of the child rearing, as my wife and I are set to do once her semester starts. That's right, rinse and repeat. Not to say that these people shouldn't use daycare, but rather that the fact that these days it's almost required to use one establishes the pattern of someone else is responsible for all this pretty early on in the lives of the children. And just think about that. You farm your children out to other people to raise them, and you wonder why they wind up rejecting the traditional order. You wonder why they wind up growing up thinking that all of their problems and all the challenges of life belong to someone else, including bringing the next generation into existence. And if we weren't vigilant against it, we allow that attitude to infect us, seep through us, and into our kids. All of these issues are intertwined, writes the letter writer. The lack of community creates a dearth of social support structures that we use to be able to depend upon, so people start leaning on institutions that were never meant to provide that type of support. And those institutions bend and creak and eventually will break because of it. I think, by and large, that is spot on, and that explains much of the malady that we of the current human condition in the Western world, including in the United States of America. Now, no act of secession is going to fix that. Folks, this is a moral problem. Those that are out there chronicling through demographics the decline of white Christianity are sort of onto the point, but what they really should be saying is that there is a decline of orthodoxy. And the orthodoxy decline is accelerating with those that have no use for it and have totally bought into, and maybe they buy into it out of necessity, into the civil religion. At the same time, though, the bright spot is there is a resurgence. Folks, there are people that are now living orthodox lives. They are trying to live out the gospel. They are seeking what the moral code and what the tradition is. They are trying to work at and to revive the old institutions that worked. How does something become tradition? It becomes tradition because it produced good fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. Something does not become traditional because it's bad unless it's forced upon. As I'm reading this piece, I'm just thinking, dude, you are describing this engineered life that we live in. At every turn, the work week, the amount of average kids, 2.5, the amount of years in school, 12, the amount of years in college, 4 or 5. The two household income, the summer schedule for school, the whole thing has not been brought about organically. It was not brought about by people living their lives as Christians, seeking to pass through the narrow gate, like 2,000 years worth of Christians, all the way from the catacombs, all the way up to the 19th century did. It was all brought about for the benefit of material and materialism, and those that benefit from it. Unfortunately, many of the people you know and I know benefit from it. Lots to discuss here. Although, the Three Stooges cut out in the lobby. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm pointing to it. During this commercial break, I think I'll go get the Three Stooges cut out so we can have a dialogue on this. So I can at least pretend like I'm speaking to someone here on this live radio show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be. I do have some good news to report from yesterday. And that is, I'd like to welcome a few new members to the Founders Pass. Nathaniel Hughes, thank you. Ricky Musselwhite and our friend Edgar Musselwhite, thank you. Mark Henneman, who is our latest founding brother, thank you. And Michelle Elmendorf, all brand new Founders Pass members. Thank you, guys. Thank you, gals. Now, if we can just bribe enough people to change their habits, turn to your phone as your radio and listen to this show just like you're listening to Glenn Beck. When you hear me in repeat, don't you know you're doing it, or you're listening to your local yokel, Eddie and the Breakfast Flakes, while this show is live. If we can just convince you. I was telling Mrs. Church the other day, I did a software update on my Kia. So I got the latest Bluetooth software. I don't even have to tell it to turn the Bluetooth on anymore. If my iPhone is in the car and the Bluetooth feed is on and I turn that joker on, it just fires it up. It's the radio. It comes through the radio speakers. Yeah, but Mr. Church, you got a new fancy car from Bulldog Kia. No, I have a 2012. I told you, I just did a software upgrade on it. Anyways, David Simpson and I were talking about that. Here's a little inside baseball for you. Simpson and I were talking about this last night that no one can argue when you tune into the Crusade Channel that you're listening to a world-class radio station. That's not a boast. That's just simply the product of great people putting in an enormous amount of labor and love into this product. No one can say that. Well, then why aren't we skyrocketing up the charts? Why aren't people saying, hey, you're listening to the Crusade Channel. Hey, you're listening to, hey, I'll even download the app for you. Well, Simpson has a theory on this. And the theory is that they're hearing too much truth. And that, yeah, they are tuning in, they are sampling, but when they hear truth, what do when you hear the truth for the first time? You run. Most people run as fast and as far away as they can. As a matter of fact, you know, since it's my show and I can do what I want and no one's going to call anyways, I'm going to read something to you. I'll pretend like somebody's calling me. How about that? This is a letter that was sent to me by Jeffrey B. listening to yesterday. I won't give you his last name. Jeffrey B. listening to yesterday's program. Let's just pretend like this is a phone call. How about that? Dear Mike, I try really hard to listen to you and Mr. Kreslin's every day. After a snap. Now listen to this. I think we had our first, Our Lady performed her first digital intercession on behalf of a listener yesterday. I try really hard to listen to you and Mr. Kreslin's every day. After a snafu with the stream this morning, during the morning drive, I never lost signal. This never happens. As I drive from Chanute, Kansas, to Wichita, Kansas, and back, as there are several dead spots, I feel as though I was meant to hear the entire show without interruption. As while driving the same route in the afternoon, I lost signal and finally gave up and listened to your podcast. I was very moved. I had never heard any of this. He's talking about Chris Ferrara and I's part 104 show yesterday on the danger of ignoring the secrets of Fatima and the miracle of the sun. I was very moved. I'd never heard any of this. Thank you for the opportunity. I shall listen to the next three as I am sure you can tell, am not a Roman Catholic. Christian, yes, but you and Mary are working on me. I shall continue to listen with bated breath to hear the rest. Thank you, Jeffrey B. There you go. Radio worked where it shouldn't. Guy was actually able to listen live when he shouldn't have been able to listen live. All right, 844-527-8723, website at veritasradionetwork.com. By the way, we added a brand new feature to the website. And for all of you to say thanks to all of you at the Crusade Channel for all the work you do, you're welcome. We added a new feature for you. There's a news slider now on the front home page of the site. And the news slider now has whatever I'm talking about, whatever story I'm talking about, will now be on the home page of VeritasRadioNetwork.com. Whatever Michael George is talking about, if he wants it to be on the home page, he can put it in a news slider. Whatever Suzanne is talking about today during the Suzanne option, if it's a news story that could be linked to, it could be on the home page right as they're talking about. So we've added a news element. And there are other news stories that we just think are cool and they should be on the front page. That's now at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. And also, if you're watching this on YouTube and you're getting the show via YouTube, you noticed that yesterday afternoon we posted the first, the debut episode of the brand new Church Doctrine. And we hoped for that to be a daily feature. And that is a daily piece of, by definition, we go looking for it, Catholic doctrine. Now, it's not always presented as that, but I'm not going to play the air raid siren when it comes on. What, you wanted to say?
I was just going to say, go check it out. All the new things.
Yes, it is the video dressings and stylings are all the work of young Christopher. That's all
I hope y'all like it. It'll be good, but it'll get better.
Check it out. Veritas, this is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way live listening should be.